You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas.
We're here at Coffee Party, located on Montana Street in El Paso, Texas, a minimalist coffee place, meeting place. Go ahead and introduce yourselves to the people out there.
Santiago Castro. I'm the guy that runs the place, owns the place, kind of. And I'm his brother. I just kind of hang out here and learn from him.
What's your name, brother?
And my name is Jose.
When did your fascination with coffee begin?
It kind of started because of my brother, Jose. He was working at Sprouts, and he would brew coffee at his house. It kind of just started just like as a fun kind of like caffeine experiment. Yeah, I would stock the coffee at Sprouts. So I just kind of would like, oh, I'm going to try the Ethiopia today, even though they're all the same fucking roast. Like, there was But yeah, then I started getting like the bags, like the fancy bags, and then nothing as fancy as what this guy brews, but yeah, just something more like trying to step it up, I guess.
So it was mainly like your curiosity about the different coffees that they had at Sprouts?
Sprouts, yeah. Because I would get like, I would stock the coffee and I'm like, oh, this smells good, but I didn't drink that much coffee. Mm-hmm. It was always like chameleon cold brew or whatever my grandma makes, or I don't know, just typical like Folgers, Nescafe.
So, yeah. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, it just stemmed from there, and eventually it got like way out of hand. I got a job at Hillside, and I just started like getting more and more experience on espresso and coffee, and yeah, it just got out of hand. That's how we ended up.
So, as kids, were you guys given the job of brewing the coffee for the morning sometimes?
Not at all. No.
So it doesn't extend that far.
No, we never even drank coffee other than like the canned powdered cappuccino thing. So I mean, it doesn't go that far back, but I think I've been doing it so often for like these past few years that it just kind of feels like it has gone that way back.
We're gonna go deeper into this, but what was one of the first things you had to learn? Because obviously you're grinding your own beans, and I guess some people, I guess, kind of don't realize what that means, or what does that entail?
The first thing we learned was brewing on French press. Mm-hmm. We were just like trying out different recipes and stuff like that, and that's, I think, the first thing was just experimenting and trying all kinds of different things, like not being scared to experiment. So it was doing a lot of dumb shit initially, and then we just like learned from that little by little.
Cool.
I used to grind my coffee at Sprouts, and then I had to get a coffee, a hand grinder, and then this guy took it over the edge. He just got obsessed, and I guess that worked out for us.
How did Coffee Party come into existence then?
While I was working at Hillside, I was like so deeply immersed that I bought the espresso machine that I use here. Mm-hmm. And I like started doing coffee parties at the house just for nonprofit. Mm-hmm. The first week we had the espresso machine at the house, there was like the hurricane in Houston. So we were like, how can we help? We have an espresso machine, so let's sell coffee to our friends and stuff. So it was just that.
And so it came out of like you just wanting to do get togethers and kind of help the community.
Yeah.
And how did you eventually land here?
So it's really weird. The landlord from the spot, he was invited to one of the coffee parties. Mm-hmm. Because we basically would just tell people, like, tell your friends, tell your family, like, show up. We're gonna give all this money to, like, whatever money we make, we're going to give it to this, like, nonprofit or this, like, relief fund or whatever. So the guy showed up at the house, and he was like, hey, I bought this building, like, 6 years ago, and I haven't used it in, like, a really long time. So here's the key. Check it out. If you like it, let's put it together. I like your concept.
How long ago was this?
Like September 2017.
So you guys have really been in existence for about like a year and a half?
Almost, yeah, just about.
About 2 years. I'm going to backtrack a little to the brewing techniques. So like, when did you guys start learning different brewing techniques? Because I know that you guys have different menu items and they all have a different method of getting made.
I started off because Jose was on the French press, so I got a French press. And then from there, it was just like a lot of internet. So we started learning a lot about coffee, and then I would go to the coffee shops around town and like just bother them, like pester them with questions.
Well, that's how you learn, huh?
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people like found me annoying, but that's pretty much how we started like getting more and more into stuff.
What were you wanting to find out?
I don't know. I don't really know to this day like how I got so like immersed in the culture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was just curiosity, and it just like got to the point where I was like, well, how can I make, or where can I get a better cup of coffee? And like, what are the ideas or whatever, like what water are they using? Like, it got to that point where you're like,
it goes,
why am I asking that?
Like, it goes that deep though. Yeah. It goes into like the type of water that you use. Please, really... please explain.
So I guess like the idea is like water doesn't have a charge initially. Like, what makes the charge is the minerals and like the salts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, depending on your, what types and what the pH of the water is, like, that's gonna affect how much you pull out of the coffee. So like, if you're using like really old, like tap water with like rust or whatever, there's gonna be that, like, those compounds in there, and that's gonna be pulling out some stuff that you probably don't want in the coffee.
Wow.
So like, a lot of the shops, they you have to install like a system that's gonna strip the water out of all the chemicals and all the minerals, and then re-infuse it with minerals that are going to be helpful for the flavors you want of the coffee.
You guys are scientists.
More him. He's more obsessed with it. I kind of just do it for fun. Would you mind if I brewed a coffee for this dish real quick?
Hell no, dude.
Can we, like, pause it?
Let's, All right, we'll pause it.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. So which brewing technique is the hardest?
They're all pretty hard, but I think for me, espresso was the hardest, probably, just because there's so many variables to it. It's still the hardest thing to do. Like, even today we were trying to dial in an espresso that we had, like, that somebody sent to us just for fun, and we couldn't get it. We pretty much used up the whole bag trying to taste it. Yeah, I think espresso, because you're always learning, and you always have to be on your tippy toes, I guess, or on your feet, because it's like, it changes depending on the weather, the humidity, and how you tamp it. Even like, jeez. Me and this guy, whenever we're both doing espresso, they come out kind of different because of all the pressure you put on it when you're compressing the espresso.
Did all these variables kind of like trip you guys out when you're learning them? Because it seems like there's a lot of stuff to like worry about.
Yeah, when I was learning, I didn't really know too much because of the machine at the other shop. It was kind of set up for us to do our own, or like for everybody to be able to do the same shots, but we didn't really take into consideration like all that stuff. Yeah. Until later, whenever we started researching it more, and yeah, it still trips me out. We'll come in one day when it's raining or whatever, and then the coffee, the grinder gives me less grounds, which means that it's grinding it finer because the bean is like inflado or whatever, like inflated from the moisture in the air kind of thing. It's pretty fucking, I don't know. It just trips you out even to this day. Yeah.
Science, kids. Science.
It's like a constant learning experience. Like, you can perfect pour overs and stuff, but I don't think you can fully perfect espresso.
I don't think you can perfect anything.
Okay.
And that's real, kids. It seems like your menu is constantly changing. What do you tend to keep on it, and how do you come up with new menu items? because I've noticed that sometimes customers bring in their own bags of coffee.
Yeah.
So how does all that work with your menu?
We try to keep the main things, the main drinks there, like all the espresso, latte, cappuccino, all that stuff. But we constantly change the actual beans that we're using for the drinks. I think just to keep it fresh, not only for us, but I think the people that come here, obviously the most, they kind of like, I feel like they kind of get tired of the same stuff. So we just try to, and then it also keeps us on our feet. Like we said, like you have to dial in a new espresso. So that keeps you like learning about espresso. You have to dial in a new pour over that keeps you learning about pour overs. And as for like signature drinks or anything like that, like it's just stuff that we like and we mess around with on our free time. Also, as far as bags that people bring, like we just like to continue to like expand our palates and our like experiences. Yeah. So I think that's, we like doing it because we get to like expand our own tastes, and the people who bring them get to taste their coffees like brewed right.
So you guys don't mind people bringing in their own coffee beans?
I don't, not really.
Cool.
We encourage it.
You guys love learning, man. You're saying it's always depends on variables, and so if you're getting a new bag of whatever, right, then that's like something new that you're gonna have to learn. I also noticed in here that you have little notebooks, mini notebooks full of notes. Can you explain on some of those? Are those the secret recipes?
I wouldn't call them secret, but I would just say yeah, they are recipes. Like I like to keep notes of everything just in case I really like one way that I brewed it. I can replicate that one like consistently. I think like that's what a lot of people like don't take that into consideration. Like I think somebody, I don't remember who said it, but they said this dude knows how to say it better though.
Adam Savage from Mythbusters said that the difference between fucking around in science is writing things down.
Oh,
so
damn.
I kind of took that. Well, I took it to heart with my stuff. So, and we just kind of apply it here too.
Yeah.
Cool. I like to imagine that you guys go exploring in random jungles for your new recipes and coffee beans.
Yeah, I mean, we just take any advice from like the pros or from anybody and just try it out. And I think that's the way that everybody should approach.
The coffee world is a jungle anyway.
Yeah.
How'd you guys decide on the minimalist style of your spot? Like right now there's almost nothing on the walls except for one cool ass painting by who's the artist?
Hannah Hooper.
Cool. And there's some merch for sale, some nice little dresses for the ladies, and the food grinders, the salsa grinders.
Yeah.
What are those called?
Molcajetes.
Yeah. So how'd you guys decide on just to keeping it really simple and really minimalist?
I don't know. We kind of were like, let's make a spot where we would want to let's make a spot we would want to hang out at. So I think from growing up we kind of lived in like a pretty cluttered space, because there was three of us, three kids, and then my mom, in like in a pretty small apartment. So like we were already used to that like clutter, and like so we were like, let's make a space that's gonna be like open for everybody and like no distractions, kind of. It helped us out because since we have white walls, like we get to have space for people to put art up.
Yeah.
And it's constantly changing, so we like that. Also, the benches were just because we were broke, and then like everybody liked them, so we just like, let's just keep them.
They're good for your back, I suppose, right?
I don't know.
Can you guys describe the benches?
It's basically just cinder blocks, nail, what is that thing called? Liquid nailed together, and then the 2x4s running through it. Yeah, so it's super minimal.
You guys gave away your secret with a liquid nail.
Yeah, everybody always asks us.
I think my mom found it on Pinterest, or I don't know, we saw it somewhere on the internet and we're like, hey, we can do that, it's easy, and then it's cost effective. So yeah.
What do customers say about this style?
80% of them like them, and then 20% don't, but then they end up hanging out here for 4 hours anyway, so it's all good.
What do you think it is? Is it like, does it provide like a, because coffee provides focus, and then less things on the wall if you're trying to do something right provides focus as well. So do you think people just get focused on each other even though like we're focused on our phones a lot?
Yeah, we decided not to have Wi-Fi because we, not because we wanted people to talk, but we didn't want to, like, there's plenty of shops that provide the space for you to like study and stuff. We kind of wanted to focus more on like drinking coffee and if possible connecting to other people through coffee, so
in real time.
Yeah.
And also public libraries have really cool study spaces that need to be taken advantage of, and school, your tuition, you pay for that, so it's you know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know.
That's true, because it's become kind of like a cliche where you go to a coffee shop and you expect to have like a Wi-Fi connection, and then you post up and
yeah,
you do your homework, quote unquote. But how have people responded to the no Wi-Fi? Do they trip out sometimes?
Yeah, like you said, it's a cliche. Like, it's already like ingrained in people's minds that they're gonna go study or go read and stuff. And I think people take it negatively once in a while, and they'll just like leave. But I never approach it like in a mean way. I'm never like, "Oh, get out if you want Wi-Fi." I'm just like, "Hey, well, we don't have it. Sorry."
Yeah.
Like, you can try a drink to go or whatever if you want. If not, like, I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't like do much. I can't be like, "Oh, let me pull up my hotspot." I don't.
Sorry to unhook you from the Matrix. Damn, that's cool though. Keep that up, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think also people, they meet more, or they're, it's easier to meet other people with the same, like if you're a musician or something, it's really easy to like hook up with people here, and artists, like it's not, I guess it's more of an open space for that, like human interaction.
Would you say the minimalist aesthetic is reflected in your coffee?
Yeah, I think so. I was just talking about this with somebody like a few days ago. We kind of try to like make the coffee shine. And when we do have like a specialty drink or whatever, we'll like try to use ingredients that'll only complement the coffee. Like, we'll never try to use something that's going to mask like a certain flavor or whatever. So that's why we don't have that many like specialty drinks. We'd rather have like different single origin coffees, or just try to use really good ingredients that just go well together. And sometimes that means not using a lot of ingredients.
Sometimes I see customers going through a clipboard list.
Yeah.
Is that the also, because I see a menu on the wall, but yeah. Is that also a type of menu too?
Yeah. We have a like a manual brew menu. So it's like we'll do pour overs or AeroPress or whatever. And we always try to have like rotating beans. So right now I think we had like 4 Colombian beans.
Cool.
1 Peruvian bean, a couple of Ethiopian beans. So just like trying to encourage like people to enjoy like a black coffee that's going to be different from like your everyday like cup. And then the one on the wall is more like a mainstay menu. Mm-hmm. So like during the summer we'll just add like 2 or 3 ice drinks, and then during the winter we'll add like chai or whatever, but that one stays more constant, and the clipboard changes like all the time.
So the clipboard is the beans.
Yeah,
it's beans, and then the second page is tea, loose leaf tea, matcha, etc., and like miscellaneous, I guess.
Yeah, I can.
Why are you guys forgetting about the tea?
We're just really wired.
We've already been kind of talking about it, especially right now we were just talking about how there's no Wi-Fi in this place. This spot, I think, naturally creates a strong sense of camaraderie. There's no cliquishness, and it's almost like Cheers.
You know, nice.
Norm!
Thank you.
Yeah, because sometimes like, I trip out and when I'm here with the boys and like everybody knows each other's name. I'm just like, this is fucking Cheers, man. How'd you guys put that vibe in place?
Like you said, it's kind of already like just the no Wi-Fi thing is automatically like helpful for that. Since we started this at our house, we wanted to bring that living room vibe and just kind of treat everybody like they were our friends. I guess some people might not like it, but like we're not pushy on them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I think people warm up eventually, and there's certain people that like don't want to be treated as a friend like initially. So we respect that. That the people who do want to be treated like friends, like, we take full advantage of that.
and like, yeah, just try to like hang out like if we were in our living room.
Let me borrow your camera, man. I don't know.
Honestly, it can get like that. Thanks for the Cheers thing, though. That's pretty dope.
Cool.
I barely got into that show, and I really like it.
You guys also host events like Beanalog, which is a electronic music synth meetup. People learn from each other, and you also host art shows sometimes. How did that come about?
I guess it was just the idea of using it as like a community space. We have been doing art and music our whole lives, and we never really had a place to like showcase that. Mm. We did play like shows and stuff like that, but we wanted it to just be a comfortable place for people to like put up their art or come like play with their instruments or just like express themselves like comfortably. Because I feel like a lot of the places, like the galleries and stuff, they're a little bit too formal. And I mean, like, we never take anything too seriously, so we kind of want to like give people like a space to do that. Yeah,
we don't charge people to have their art here and stuff.
No pay to play.
Yeah, no, it's just like if you have something cool, we'll encourage you to post it up and we'll make an event out of it.
Beanalog is your more regular event. How did that one come about?
That one was actually like a pretty cool it came up a pretty cool way. We were hanging out with Ray and Lisa from Mask of Freak. Mm-hmm. and we kind of started talking about like music and music production, and they mentioned they had like gear and they did like DJing and stuff, and so we were like, oh well, I've been wanting to check out that piece of gear specifically, bring that like next week. That's how it started. Every week, each one of us would bring something different, and then we were like, there's got to be other people that are the same as us, that we're kind of just like chill at home and not really like bring our gear to places,
into the world.
Yeah. so yeah, that's how it came about. And it's just like a lot of fun to just be able to learn and be able to use other people's gear that we like.
Why are you guys so friendly?
I don't even know. I guess it's like coffee. Like, it gives you that energy to to socialize and stuff. Because we're not, like, I mean, we are kind of outgoing, but not really. I honestly prefer just staying at home and making music. But, yeah, like, I guess since we all love coffee, we can bond over that. And then that leads to other music, whatever music's playing here. We'll, like, talk about that. And, yeah, it's cool. I guess it's just the environment's right for that.
Yeah, a lot of coffee. I think from my previous jobs as a barista, I kind of craved like the deeper human interaction. So I'm always like trying to like connect with others, and I think that's kind of why we're able to do that. if that makes sense. I don't know. I might not be making any sense.
You guys are so chill.
Thanks.
How do you guys feel about the way your shop has become a hidden gem to many? Is that something you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it. I honestly, like, I hate to say it, but I thought this was going to fail. The landlord, the landlord was one of my mom's friends, and he helped us out a little bit, like, starting up. And I was, like, super scared to sign a lease. And he was like, well, let's do a 6-month lease just for the sake of me like having those 6 months secured, and then from there we'll continue. So that made me really comfortable, and we just kind of were doing what we were doing at home, just making coffee for friends and just experimenting. And I think the community and the coffee like together just makes like a pretty weird like niche space. And I'm really happy that people think it's a hidden gem. Like, I've never imagined, like I said, that we were going to make it this far, so much less like be a hidden gem.
When we got the keys to this place, it wasn't like for sure a thing. So we just kind of came in here, and I told my brother, I was like, yeah, we can work with this space. Like, we just need to tear down this wall and paint all the walls white and buy some gear, and we should be fine. And everyone just kind of encouraged them, like, me, Dorian, our family, like, we're just like, do it, don't be scared.
Cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Dorian.
Were you guys expecting so much bonding? so much friendship?
Not really. I I didn't even like think too much of it until later on, but it's not just the coffee. Like it's weird to say that it's not just the product that you're selling, but it's also like the way you treat others and stuff. I think people being really comfortable here has led to like a lot of cool like bonding and cool friendships. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, me either, because you usually don't I don't associate, like, I mean, besides me going to visit this guy at his old job, mm-hmm. I don't really associate like going to a coffee shop to like meet like-minded people and stuff. It's just more of a place to go drink coffee with your friends or with to talk to the baristas, and that's about it. Like, not really like a big social interaction for me.
How often are people surprised that there's a coffee spot here? Like, do you get that like daily? Like, oh man, there's actually a spot.
Yeah,
actually a coffee shop here.
All the time, dude. Like a lot. Like lately, more than anything, we've had people from the neighborhood come by, or like people that work around here, and they're like, "Dude, how long have you guys been here? Is this new?" Like, no, I've been here for a year. We kind of just, yeah, almost 2 years, and I don't know. We kind of relied on word of mouth, which helped us out a lot, because everybody already was connected somehow, or most people were already connected. It's friends of friends, family of friends, whatever. We get people all the time just that didn't even know, or people that are like, I drive by this place every day and I never saw it.
Also, a lot of the baristas that came here at first, they were like, oh, well, we've seen you guys. And we're like, yeah, we've seen you too. Like, and then they tell other people at their shops, like, go check these guys out. So it's like, I guess we're building a more like
a network,
yeah. And instead of how it's usually pretty tense with different shops not wanting, or like, you know, wanting to like hog up like customers and stuff, and keep like, you know, like not being open to trying other places and competing and stuff like that. And we don't believe in competition. That's what we always say. I mean, I don't know if it sounds like we're full of shit, but we don't believe in competition.
Well, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? Like,
yeah.
That's like the best way to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. We always say that, like, if somebody goes to your shop, they're always going to be looking for other shops like it, or yeah, vice versa. And yeah, we all lift each other, like you said.
And you guys get travelers too. You guys get people from outside of El Paso. What's that like?
Yeah, it's really dope. We met a ton of people from, like, it was super weird, like, New York, Canada, like East Coast. They fly down here because it's cheap, and then they'll drive up to Marfa or to Albuquerque or Santa Fe. So like, we are kind of like in the middle for them, and it's pretty dope to like get to meet different kinds of people. Like, even some touring bands will stop by here because we're right next to the freeway.
Nice.
Even, well, the artist who did our painting, Hannah, she's in a band called The Group Love, and they were like super chill.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little band called Group Love. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of
that. I just wanted to mention that because I never imagined that, like, people would be comfortable here. Like people from out of town, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
I think sometimes it feels like the people that are not from here appreciate a little bit more than, like, the people that are from here. You know, like, I guess just the vibes we get are, like, a little bit more, like, appreciative. I don't know.
There is a worldly vibe here.
Thanks.
I've already drank her coffee more than a few times, and it's usually suggestions from my friends from good old Israel. But every time I drink it, I'm always wired for like hours. And I drink regular coffee every so often, and I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but is your coffee so powerful because it's so meticulously made? Like, why am I living in between dimensions when I drink your coffee?
Yeah, maybe I think just proper like prep of the coffee, and then also freshness too, like, and then also like a lot of our coffee is roasted lightly, so that might have an effect on like how much caffeine it has. I think the main factor is freshness for sure. Like, the more freshly roasted they are, the more of the compounds you get from the coffees.
Can you measure caffeine?
I can't.
But is there a machine that can?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah, like, well,
the TDS will tell you the total dissolved solids in your cup. Mm-hmm. So like that, you can find out how many of those compounds you pulled out of the coffee.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't have the tools to measure caffeine, but there is some stuff out there.
What menu item would you suggest for newbies?
If they're like super, super newbie, I'm like, well, what do you normally drink? And then I'll go from there. So like the biggest drink we sell is a latte.
Okay.
And I think it's like the most accessible for sure. It's just espresso and milk and sometimes flavor or sugar. And then if somebody's like, oh, well, I drink black coffee, I'll suggest like certain coffees off the clipboard. But yeah, I always like to see what, like, if we can shape our drink suggestions around their preferences.
Yeah, we've seen people evolve from drinking a latte going to like just a straight up espresso shot.
Dang.
And yeah, like, it's crazy.
What menu item would you suggest for experienced coffee drinkers?
We always have something for everybody. Like, I will always like go straight to the trusty clipboard, because I think that's where we have like the most complex coffees. Mm-hmm. Like right now, this is super weird, and I don't know if it's gonna be douchey or whatever, but we have a $25 cup of coffee.
Nice.
And I think that's like a super complex, like challenging coffee to drink. And I don't want to sound like an asshole, but yeah, it's a really good cup of coffee. A lot of like work goes into producing the coffee, and like, so it's dope. That's probably what I would recommend right now.
It's scaring me.
Yeah, it's cool. It's an experience. Like, it's a coffee too, but it's also like, oh dude, I'm drinking a coffee that was fermented this way and it was roasted this way, and like the plant took forever to grow. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's interesting. Yeah.
$25 cup of coffee, guys.
Yeah.
Get it here. Blow your minds. I would pay $25. If I was gonna trip out all day. Like, you also use different sweeteners. The other day you asked me if I wanted a cocoa sweetener, or like gave me all these options. I was like, I don't care, dude. Just give me, just surprise me. I always tell you to surprise me. So why do you like to use that or do that?
I don't know. Like I said, like a lot of people, they're used to the sweet coffee. So I do like to make certain coffees that are sweet, and like, cause we always, once in a while we're like, dude, I want like that dessert kind of coffee. So I try to make like some syrups that are similar to what other people drink, but on another level. Like, we'll usually have two or three syrups, and it's always like honey or regular sugar, and then we'll have like vanilla or mocha or like, I don't know, caramel or whatever. But we try to put our own spin on it. So like our vanilla has like a tiny bit of honey and a tiny bit of cinnamon. Nice. So it's kind of a little bit different than what people are used to. Like our chocolate is like really nice, like organic chocolate. And we just like to please everybody, I guess. That's why we have them.
What do you think of Starbucks?
I think it's cool. Like we said previously about people wanting to look for like other shops because of places like that. And I think it kind of like made people realize that coffee is a specialty. Like, it is like a special drink, and it's not just like a, like, of course they charge way too much for their stuff.
Yeah,
but it is like a thing that's to be taken seriously, and it made coffee a part of a lot of people's daily routines.
That's true.
That, I mean, like, I always try to think super positive. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it's like a stepping stone for beginners. Like, we used to go to Starbucks a lot, maybe, what, 11 years ago, 10 years ago?
I didn't go a lot.
I used to go a lot because I used to go a lot. But yeah, it's like a starting point for, you know, if you do get into it, there's always another option. Like, you're not gonna get the same drink quality, I guess. But yeah,
which store brand coffee would you guys suggest?
Honestly, we drink Nescafe sometimes.
Nescafe.
Yeah. What we'll do is, like, we'll make cappuccinos at home whenever we're, like, out of coffee or whatever. Just, like, a couple scoops of Nescafe, a couple scoops of sugar, and then we heat up milk and press it a bunch of times on the French press, make some little, like, frothy milk.
Nice.
And that's, like, our day off, kind of, like, broke day coffee, accessible coffee or whatever. I don't know.
You guys should put that on the menu. Especially for, like, winter or something.
That's not a bad idea.
Get Nescafe as a sponsor?
Oh, shit.
Dude, why not?
We also have an espresso at the house. That thing is pretty crazy.
Those are kind of wasteful, no?
Yeah, they suck. But it was a gift. And so, like, we hardly use it. But once in a while, we'll get, like, gifted the pods.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say no to gifts. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Shout out to Roberto. He brings us pods sometimes.
What's next for Coffee Party?
This is a pretty weird question because I don't think about it often, but thank you. I don't know. We're writing it out for a little bit. I kind of want to just, like, continue where I'm at for a little bit and just try to figure out, like, what to do next. I kind of like being not low key, but I kind of like the experience I've been having lately of just, like, having
flying under the radar.
Yeah, kind of like just, like, chilling and serving people who are really super interested in the coffee, and who wouldn't want to have, like, a shop inside the mall or whatever. But I want to make sure that I continue, like, the consistent quality and, like, experience if I were to branch out. Mm-hmm. So I don't currently have plans to, like, do anything bigger or do anything crazy, but we've been messing around with roasting coffee. That might be a thing. Nice. In the future. So we just want to make sure we're learning properly and bringing, like, a dope product to the table, not just, like, trash or whatever. I don't know.
No trash.
Yeah, we don't want to rush it. And it also feels like we're just beginning to pick up, like, momentum. Because maybe, like, a year ago, it was like, yeah, like, people are barely starting to find out about it. Now more people know. More people have told their friends. More people know about the Instagram. They're like, oh, we'll go there eventually. And, yeah, people will come through, yeah, like, while they're traveling and stuff. So we usually always get new customers. So that's pretty cool. It's encouraging.
Awesome. Where are you located, and what are your hours?
We're at 3909 Montana, next to Berto's Barbershop. And we have some weird hours. We open at midday every day except for Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday and Saturday we'll close at 8. And the rest of the day is at 6 for now. I haven't figured out, like, a cool schedule.
I hope everybody listening wrote that down.
Yeah, if not, you could just Google it.
Where can people find you on the web?
The best place, like, is Google for sure. Like, I always update that. Mm-hmm. If we're ever going to be closed, or if we're ever going to open late or close late or whatever. And then we like to use Instagram a lot.
Oh, and then I think the Instagram's linked to the Facebook too. So Facebook is cool, I guess, if you're right. Into that.
At Coffee Party, Coffee PRTY. Coffee with two F's and two E's.
And if you're Googling Coffee Party El Paso.
Yeah, exactly. Because if not, you'll get that political party called Coffee Party.
And we're not political.
This next question we ask to everybody that is on the show. How does El Paso inspire you?
I guess the main thing I get out of El Paso is, like, we were born and raised here. So, of course, we want to see, like, El Paso, like, on the map. And I think, like, just, like, other people in El Paso inspire me to, like, do my best. I actually, like, was really, like, kind of didn't like El Paso up until, like, I think when I got out of high school. Just because I didn't really have, like, the El Paso experience until then. And I wanted to leave really bad for college or whatever. But when we were, like, planning this out, I was really happy that I didn't leave. Mm-hmm. Just because I've got to see El Paso, like, become, like, great, and I've got to see how great El Paso is. So, like, I think the people inspire me the most. Everybody's super nice and, like,
there is some people that are negative, but it's not enough to like hold anybody back, you know.
Yeah.
Also, El Paso's like a blank slate for a lot of cool new like industries, like coffee, cocktails, eating, fine dining or whatever. Mm-hmm. Art, yeah, like this dude. There's like more galleries popping up. Like last Thursday's is badass. So just things like that are pretty interesting.
How does El Paso inspire you, man?
It's pretty cool. I guess just because the people here are more humble. Mm-hmm. And like we can go to Juarez whenever we want to go eat and stuff. Yeah, that's that. The food inspires me. And the people here are chill. A lot of our family's here, and that's pretty awesome.
Shout out to La Raza.
The race.
Anything else that you'd like to add?
Just check us out if you want. You don't have to. Thank you, though, for having us on here. That's pretty dope, man.
No problem.
Really like your podcast, and I like that it's grassroots.
Also, just be on the lookout for signature drinks and stuff. This guy always has something cool up his sleeve. He's always ahead of the curve when it comes to new roasters, new techniques. There's always something interesting.
New ideas coming up from Coffee Party.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you, dude. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's the end of the show. Thank you for listening. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Be excellent to each other and party on.